Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Will you please welcome a man who claims that he can suck his own penis? It's Richard Herring! Thank you very much. And welcome to part two of two podcasts. I've had a little drink now. We're off. Let's go. To Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as all the cool kids are calling it, Rehearlstapur. We're doing two in a day, we're going to get Francesca back out in a second. I'm terrible. I was going to have a running joke all the way through the show series where I asked every guest if they've ever tried to suck their own cock. I forgot. Imagine how brilliant Jonathan Ross would be. I mean, he definitely would have, wouldn't he? And I was so looking forward to his answer, and I forgot to ask. He's gone now. I'd be asking Francesca. This could be interesting. I'm not sure of the ethics of that, asking a young lady that question. I'm not even going to change the gender of the genitals. That's the kind of guy I am. But talking of genitals, that was the thing I was meaning to talk about in the first half, so it's good we're doing two, is that the big story for me this week, I'm doing a show in Edinburgh this year. It's an old show I did 10 years ago called Talking Cock. This is Talking Cock, the second coming I'm doing, which is... I did Christ on a Bike, the second coming as well. It just all fell into place. I just had to goal hang and kick that in. But when I did a show. I mean, I did it in 2002, and that was fine. It was all in the Fringe programme, posters all over the Edinburgh saying Talking Cock, which is fine, I would say as well, because Talking Cock just means talking rubbish, right? I mean, it's from Talking Cock and Bull. Cock has 15 definitions, I've found out. And only one of them is, well, you can name them yourself. Maybe that could be a little quiz for you. Maybe at the end when we did the competition. Well, you know, there's only 15, and then there's different verbs and stuff as well. But, you know, it means there's only one and a half rude meanings. It means to become erect as well, like you cock something and it becomes erect, and it means penis. And obviously I'm using it as penis, I can't claim that I'm not, but I don't think the Edinburgh Fringe brochure, which is usually quite a liberal, it's an arts festival, it's quite a, has censored, without telling me, it's censored. They emailed me a few weeks ago and said, in my 40 words you have to put in, I've just listed words for cock, right? So I'd put penis, schlong, dick. And then they emailed me and said I couldn't say dick in the Fringe programme, and did I want to change the word? And I thought it was so pathetic, I thought I'd let it, you know, because it's, you know, it's Dick Van Dyke would get a double censorship. And it's a name, you know. And then there's things like the yoghurt spitting sausage, that's fine. And that's no need to censor that, because yoghurt and spitting and sausage aren't on their list. I had the Honourable Member for Fuckinghamshire, which I'm quite proud of. I made that one up myself. That's why I'm proud of that. But Fuckinghamshire is not actually a rude word, right? It's like, then if you're going to say that, then Scunthorpe's a rude word. I wasn't that surprised they censored it. They didn't. I didn't mind. But I let that go. But they didn't tell me they were actually going to censor the title as well, which I thought kind of... I mean, I was actually quite angry about it. There's another guy who's doing a show called Prick, right? And that's it. It's not, you know, it's just called Stuart Goldsmith Prick. And prick has a lot of meanings, right? And even when it means penis, it's like your grandma would say that word to mean penis. So it's kind of insane that this is, they're coming down. He's had to put an exclamation mark in the middle of his word, which I think's ruder. Then it looks like a little penis has been put into there, with one testicle has been put there, standing erect. So I was kind of quite cross that they made me do this. But in the end, I've kind of justified it myself. That's basically, someone sitting in an office has decided that talking cock is rude. It's, I mean, even though it could mean lots of things, and even though talking cock doesn't mean lots of different things, it doesn't mean something different anyway. But they made me put an asterisk in it, but because they think I intend it to mean penis. But I put the asterisk in, intending it to be my asshole. That is my anus there. So I'm actually quite disgusted with the Fringe programme. They've allowed my anus to go into the programme several times, uncensored. And I think you should write to them and complain about that. So that was the odd thing that's happened to me this week. We'll have a quick little chat with some of them. A man with a hat on down here. How you doing, mate? What's going on? What's your name?
Rick.
Nearly rude. It could have gone a different way and I've had to censor you. And if is the hat on your head to make you look more like a penis than you did? Just to give you that kind of, yeah. It goes all the way down. He's quite a funny guy. You're a bit kind of cool for my audience. That's all I'd say, Rick. What?
Okay.
Should you go? Yes, I think you should leave. He's got like bangles on. He's got like some metal kind of link chains. Also, he's got an Asbo tag. He's very funny, isn't he? He's coming up with the stuff. It's like, in a way, they're slightly annoyed, don't you think? And he's slightly... Yellow wristband, what's that one for?
Livestrong Cancer Charity thing.
Livestrong Cancer thing.
Care,
yeah. That's good, that's nice, isn't it? I thought it was going to be somebody said Livestrong. I thought it was just, oh, fuck it, some sort of stupid beer commercial merchandise. But, yeah, I think that, you know, if I have to come down on one side... I'm against cancer. I'm forced to, so well done on that. That is good work for you. I think it's a bad thing. Be good if it was stopped. Who's with me? Yeah, I thought it'd be more popular. It's not a very... There, a lot of people, they're quite either ambivalent or pro-cancer. I'm not going to join in with Rich Herring's crusade against cancer. If we didn't have cancer, think how many people there'd be. It'd be terrible, wouldn't it? It'd be an awful... A young lady in the front row, what's your name? Felicity, you're on the podcast now, Felicity. It's exciting, isn't it? Are you a bit nervous? A bit excited? What do you do for a living, Felicity?
I'm looking for a career change.
You're looking for a career change? What, you're a masseuse? Richard Herring came in. It was disgusting. He was jiggling around. What do you do at the moment?
I work in a hospital.
You work in a hospital? Again, Felicity, you were here last week, weren't you? You were you asked Tim Minchin a question last week. I thought you were a plant. For that, so I knew you were a human being. I didn't think you were a triffid. But you asked. That's crazy that you were sitting like in the fourth row last week, and then you're Australian, aren't you? Yeah. See, I'm like Henry Higgins. I told you last week. Last week I just told you you weren't English. That was the, and then I've thought about it all week. I reckon Felicity's Australian. And so you worked. And then she's back again, and that's just out of the hundreds of people here. I've just chosen her a second time. You work in a hospital now. What do you do?
I'm asleep in the spirit.
Oh, God, you've been in another podcast in the past. This is insane. I've talked to you before. Or was that at the Hammersmith gig? Yeah, that's all right. This is new. I've talked to Felicity many times. It's slightly embarrassing that I don't recognise her every time I see her. To be fair, I'm usually talking to her when she's sitting in a dark room and I can't actually see her face, and this time I can. You work in sleep and respiratory, so you make guys... It's quite like being a masseuse, isn't it? Except you can actually go in and touch them when they're asleep and they don't know. You can do whatever you like. So guys, you're teaching people to sleep without snoring, right? That's the basic thing. You got fed up at that, Felicity. And what are you going to... This is very... It's good for me to catch up with you. This is really the only times we ever talk. What are you hoping to move into?
Something that pays more money.
Ah, oh, she's let me down, hasn't she? I thought you were all about helping blokes to stop snoring. Turns out it's all about the money. Tell you what, don't do podcasts. Okay. My snooker podcast is probably a good way to help people sleep. Don't make much money if you can buy my stuff. There's a smiling bearded man here. Looks like he looks quite happy, but he could be a serial killer. That's the different little tattoo we've got there. What's that? 45 RPM. You love the old 45 rev per minute records. Yep. Thought, I know what they're going to die out. I'll make them live another 20 years by riding it on my skin. What does 45 RPM, is it a band as well, or is it you just love fucking small records, small old star records, you fucking just love those. How did you choose, why did you put that on your arm? You're a DJ, don't have to write, is that to remind you, is it 30, 33 on the other arm? If it's right hand, it's small, shouldn't it? Don't have to even play. Do you like DJ like properly and with it like Malcolm McLaren scratching it like that? Yeah. Thanks for laughing at that. That was a good reference. I thought that was a good reference. You used to. What happened when the CDs came in? MP3s. Thought, fuck. Why did I write that on my fucking arm if I look like a dated idiot? My 45. Most of these people don't even know what we're talking about. That's right. That's how dated it is. They're talking about 45 RPM, that doesn't it? What about 78s? Ever play any of those?
No.
I used to have 78s when I was a little kid.
We can tell by your hair.
And shut up. I can tell by my hair? Yeah, if you do a genetic test, if you pull it out of the roots, you can find out. Oh, we're having fun with the insane. What's your name?
Ali.
That's a kind of girl's name. Is that why you grew the beard?
Yep.
Yeah. And are you working as a DJ now?
I work in music.
You work in music.
Digital marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that really music? Is it just marketing? What bands are you working with?
Marilyn Manson,
yeah. Old M.M. Eminem. Eminem, I call him. Confuses people. Is he as nice in real life as he looks on the telly? Is he quite pleasant? He's bad when he sent those kids out to kill. Although, wasn't it? And he decided. Again, if I have to come down on one side and anti that. Actually, he's very. If you watch that Bowling for Columbine, he's in, right? Isn't he? Fantastic, actually. Absurd. I take my hat off to him. I don't even wear a hat. I was being flippant and I have to. He was mate. I could borrow his hat. That's the audience, again, trying to be funnier than me. And it was a good back reference. It's amazing how, Ali, it's hard, this job. It looks easy, doesn't it, when I'm up here blundering around, not forgetting to ask people if they've sucked their own cock. You'd think, well, that'd be easy. All I have to do is remember, go on stage, remember to ask someone if they've sucked their own cock, listen to the response. Harder than it looks. The job. Oh, don't make up your own jokes. I hate it when you people do that. Well, anyway, look, we heard a little bit from it earlier in the evening, or if in the previous podcast, if you're listening at home, and there may be twice as many people listening at home as there are here. We please welcome back the fantastic Francesca Martinez, ladies and gentlemen. That's her dad. He looks young, doesn't he? He's quite young. He's a little bit older than Jonathan Ross.
They had me young.
They did they?
Very naughty. My mum was 19. What a slag. I'm joking. I always say that to her affectionately. You were such a slag, mum. She's so not. Okay. I love her dearly.
Good.
Yes.
She is a slag. So, and Francesca isn't even disabled. This is the sickest act you ever going to the sick act.
But it works really well for me.
It does. Ricky Gervais learned everything he got from you.
I've been giving him lessons.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. How have you been, Frankie? You've been out in Australia?
I have.
International comedian. Right, so Felicity, you're like that.
Hello.
Do you ever need any help sleeping?
Are you Aussie? Oh, I love Aussies.
I'll tell you, I'll do my Henry Higgins on. You're from round about the... I reckon you're from the coastal area of Australia. That's what I'm getting from you. Many, many people live at Ayersrock. Many people do.
That's a good guess.
Where are you from?
Yeah,
the coastal area.
Which coastal area?
I'm from Perth.
I was going to say Perth. Oh. You played Perth.
Yeah, I did. It's beautiful. It's in the middle of nowhere and it's so expensive. $30 for a pizza. What the fuck? But I love Australia. They're so direct out there. Like, this is totally true. Because I believe chit chat, right? So I'm quite direct. So I met this woman in Adelaide, right? And I said, what do you think the meaning of life is? As you do. And she said, I think the meaning of life is balance. I was like, well, I'm fucked. but it was quite funny. I did shows in Adelaide too. And I did a joke about Richard Dawkins. And no one knew who it was. I was like, clearly evolution has not reached Adelaide. And then I said to my cousin, who's from Perth, I said, can you believe they didn't know who Richard Dawkins was? You know who he is, surely. And she went, yeah, he's that scientist in the wheelchair. I was like, thank you for a new joke.
It's nice when people just hand them to you on the plate, isn't it?
It is. Australia's great. I was a bit selfish. I just wanted to miss the British winter. Mm. So I say it's a comedy. It's not. That's a sideline. It's for the weather.
It's nice to go out there in the spring. You know, it's been a while since I've been out to Australia. I think 2003 was the last time I went out there.
You took me gambling.
I did. I took you to the casino. I tried to corrupt you, and it works.
I lost all your money in like 5 minutes.
There's an amazing casino in Melbourne. I mean, Melbourne's just a beautiful city.
Yeah, it is.
But there's an amazing kind of complex of a casino and all cinemas. You know, but I like gambling. I do like to gamble.
So I did feel so dirty going in. It's kind of like, you're killing your soul when you enter. Yeah, I haven't been back.
I went in that casino, not the night I went with you. I won. I played all night. I played for 12 hours at a casino, which is a very bad idea. Okay, generally speaking, do not copy me. I'm indestructible. But I actually won money all night, so I walked out with enough money. I walked out with all these $50 bills. I think I won £3,000.
So. Which probably about then was about £2.50.
Well, you know, everything was so cheap in Australia, so you got all this money. I stayed in Australia for 6 weeks, and I spent £10 of my own money. I had a safe full of $50 bills. It was incredible. I felt like I was in the, you know, I felt like I was George Clooney.
What, in Ocean's 11?
Ocean's 24, this was. It was so, such an amazing, I walked away. Every time, this never happens to anyone, I was playing roulette, and just every time I'd go up to a table, I'd play 17 and another number as well. I don't know what it was, but every time I did, one of them would come up, and I had like some $25 chips spare at the end. I just walked out and put them down. And it won again. So I just kept. I was magic for 1 minute.
Why aren't you there now?
No, I should have stayed. But I did meet someone. I did go to the casinos a bit, and I've stopped going because it's a fool's errand.
Good.
But I did. I think one of my dates was at a casino, and we went there kind of quite early in the evening. And there was a guy who'd been there, and he was just there playing. You see these real serious gamblers, and they'll go on roulette, which really, if you either play one or two bets and you might win, just you get these guys who cover nearly everything with chips. Right, so they're playing pretty much every single number, which means you win most of the time. But also, it's balanced against that. But, you know, also you'll lose every now and again. But he spent the whole afternoon in there, and he said to me, I've lost my life. He was about 24. He said, I've lost my life in here. And I thought, it's not so much fun playing roulette anymore.
Gambling is a sin, Rich.
Yeah, well, it's like he was almost like waiting for someone to come and help. And no one in a casino is going to go, hey mate, come with me. I'll so let's go out and have a drink and be
there
friends.
There is a very sad atmosphere. Yeah. I'm sorry. I know you like casinos, but I think they're very sad.
They are very sad.
Yeah. And that's hilarious. Yeah.
And I tried to get you addicted to gambling because I
withstood your corrupting influences. Yeah, you did. And I have found Jesus.
Have you? Good.
Yeah, he's in the back. no, I hadn't.
Jesus is in every casino. He's obsessed. Jesus, he's here tonight. Jesus, he loves my gigs.
Is it? Do you know, I keep getting religious people trying to save me. Like, seriously, like, Jehovah Witnesses love me. I'm so lucky. And this is totally good. The last 2 years, right, the same two have knocked on my door.
Right.
Obviously, I'm getting a bit annoyed. So last time, I opened the door, right, and the woman says to me, "Hello, is your mummy in?" And I'm like, "Yeah, she's upstairs reading The God Delusion." And then the guy says to me, "We've been praying for you." And I was like, "Well, I have actually felt a bit more coordinated recently. Thanks!" And then, right, the woman says to me, "Why do you walk so badly? What's wrong with you?" And, OK, I should not have said this. But I said, "Oh, no! No, I'm not disabled. My boyfriend just had a really big cut." They haven't been back.
But it's interesting that Jesus was capable. Jesus kind of was capable of curing lots of people, like lepers. He cures 10 lepers in the Bible.
Yeah, very generous man.
Very nice, isn't it?
You got 10? Wow. You know,
people think that makes him the son of God. I think that makes him a bit of an arsehole, doesn't he?
Kind
of,
yeah, always like 10. Like, I could cure you, but I've done 10 and I'm knackered.
Yeah. I didn't like all the other lepers. I've only cured those 10.
No,
I wanted to have leprosy.
Well, yeah, anyone who believes in that shit anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
More proof, not needed.
And he must have known people were like, he was casting out demons. He must have, because he's Jesus, he must have known they were actually mentally ill and had psychosis. And yet, he still did little magic tricks and dances over them. I think that's a bit sick, isn't it? I mean, that does make Ricky Gervais look quite a reasonable person when you compare him to Jesus.
Maybe he's modelling himself on Jesus.
He might be.
You know.
I think he might be.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
Well, he's having a go.
Yeah, you know, Jesus was adored and, you know, called genius.
We haven't. Last time we spoke, we've spoken a couple of times. Francesca was in one of my Edinburgh Fringe podcasts. She's the first returning guest because she's the best one. And she was on. And she was also on Rich Tone's Objective. We had a nice chat, but that was the week that all of the kind of craziness went down.
It went down for Ricky.
Well, in fact, we were talking about it before it had broken. Because I'd written a blog about Ricky Gervais using the word "mong,"
yeah, and saying,
you know, maybe we shouldn't do that, but you can if you like.
Yeah.
And then that week, it kind of all kind of went crazy as I got quoted in a newspaper, and all of Ricky Gervais' followers on Twitter started kind of
basically
calling me a mong. You know,
I know. What was funny is that no one called me a mong. You know? Although the best tweet I got was from, because I just joined Twitter and I had like 400 followers. The best way of abuse was from a guy who was like, "Yeah, you've got 400 followers. No one knows who you are." And then someone tweeted him, "Yeah, but you've got 11. It was great.
It was good. That happened all the time, but people have no kind of self-awareness about it.
But no, you know, this isn't funny, but, you know, well done for making the stand. I completely agree with you.
Well, it was sort of, I mean, I think people should be allowed to say whatever they want. I think you just got to think about stuff.
But so
I mean,
the point I was making was
if would you, the people who was using that word, would you use the racial epithets?
And Ricky wouldn't.
There's a thing Ricky saying, you know, "I wouldn't use the word nigger in a joke because I couldn't do that."
Of course.
So why, you know, if he's like Jerry Sadovitz, I think Jerry Sadovitz uses all the language about everyone, and you kind of think, well, that's fair enough. If he does, it's so horrible and horrific what he does. It's kind of like art in its own way. But it was sort of fascinating.
Yeah, and I just think it's a funny group of people to target. Like, of all the people that Ricky could target.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I love The Office. I think Ricky's a genius. But I also think that sometimes you can have a lapse in judgment. And I think this was one of them. And so I tweeted him, you know, of all the people to target, why don't you, like, reclaim the word banker and do banker's faces, you know. Like, there's a lot more people you want to see brought down
than
people who don't really have a voice.
Yes, it did seem an odd choice for a millionaire to make.
You elicited an apology, though.
Well, I don't think I did, really. I think Robin Ince did. I did. You know, he never actually... It was odd because he was retweeting me, so that every time he retweeted... So anything about me, then I would get 1,000 people having to go at me, which was kind of, on the whole, it was sort of all right. There was this never happens to me. At the end of the first day of it, I kind of went to bed and thought, I've done the right thing today. Yeah. I feel, what's this odd feeling? I'm proud of what I've done.
You didn't feel that.
I just felt proud. It was very odd. It lasted for one night. And then about two nights later, I did sort of... I kind of had a little cry about 2 days into it. Because it was so... It was sort of really... But then, you know, when you think about that, that was me having experienced this in some concentration. Yeah. It was undiluted. Yeah. Being attacked for being a spastic mong. But it, you know, it actually completely got to me after just 2 or 3 days of that kind of relentless abuse. Yeah. So it is sort of... but then the real story of that is that, you know, a disabled person has to go through that their whole life, and maybe not people literally tracking them down and texting them to let them know that's what they think as was happening to me. But it is, you know, that's the real story there. And you know, and I think the fact that it was interesting that out of all of that, nobody, all these people who said Hmong doesn't mean disabled... None of them called you a mom.
I know, which I thought
which
was
is
very
just
telling.
Unbelievable.
But also, I mean, I think the words stem from his routine on Susan Boyle, that she looks like a mom. And so he so did know what the word meant.
Yeah.
But maybe he just forgot.
I think it's me. The thing I think about him, and I do, you know, there's a lot of things I like about him. It's having gone through this, it's made it harder to. I haven't sat down and watched Derek, I have to admit, but I think he's mixing with the greatest comedians in the world, and he's treated as a peer amongst them. But he hasn't actually done the groundwork of being a stand-up comedian for all that time, which doesn't mean that much. But what he's trying to do, I think, is that there's a Louis C.K. quite a brilliant routine about reclaiming the word faggot, and it's actually quite well done. And he's sort of decided, oh, I'll do that, and I'll reclaim it with this word, but he's got nothing to...
I think it's interesting, we're probably all fans of free speech here, and there are certain words. I'm really interested about the power of certain words. And I did a show a few years ago, and this is so childish, but I wanted an excuse to say cunt on stage. But be intelligent. And so I was like, you know, the word cunt, you know, it is just a word. It's just a sound. It could have been, you know, it could have been the word for baby. Isn't it?
Good. Like, very nearly is.
Yeah. Like, no, but you know, like, cunt could have been baby, and baby could have been cunt. So, you know, is it right for mother to go to work and leave her cunt with a stranger? And, the immortal line from Dirty Dancing, nobody puts cunt in the corner. I have a lot, I'll stop.
I've never found any need to have an excuse to use that word, I have to say, but I've managed to use it.
But
quite
I do
frequently.
Think debates that word. I think it's interesting.
Of course it is. I mean, no, it is, and it's, you know, and there is people. I mean, what I was being called. I mean, I got called a yogurt knitter. Get off my high horse. Because I was a yogurt knitter, and I was doing it on a high horse. I thought I was quite impressed.
And you quite like yogurt, don't
you? I do. I love yogurt.
I've been publicised.
Someone likes yogurt, yeah. But it's, you know, it's sort of odd to be. I mean, all these people who obviously had no idea who I was, and then that's all. It's like how many followers have you got was a big thing, and you know, I've never heard of you, so therefore I don't have to. That is the end of the story because I've never heard of you.
Sure.
But again, in any argument, if someone who I've never heard of tells me. If that's all, you don't have to listen to the argument of anyone you've never heard of. That most arguments end there.
And also this idea of reclaiming a word.
Yeah.
Like, I'm quite a fan of reclaiming words because, like, as I said before, I do hate... Well, I should say the medical name for my condition, right? Are you ready? Okay, I have acetoid cerebral palsy with myotonia and... ataxia. How sexy is that? Seriously, I hate the name for disabilities. I really do. Who comes up with them? Syndrome, disease, disorder, sclerosis. Not just one sclerosis, multiple. And what really fucks me up is when it seems society, we have really nice names, don't we, for awful things. Like friendly fire. Do you think it sounds like a mild form of flush? Friendly fire up, don't worry. And what about ethnic cleansing? How lovely. It's ethnic cleansing. Kind of like aromatherapy. Or a herbal tea. Do you want the nice full mic of ethnic cleansing?
Sounds nice.
I think words are really important. And I think that, in a way, disabilities have such shit names because, the medical world views them, obviously, as awful. And this is true. I did a gig to a group of doctors recently, and it was really cool because I could patronise them. Yes. And it worked really well, but afterwards, this woman put her hand up and she said, look, it's my job to advise parents carrying disabled babies on whether or not to have an abortion. And I always feel that we should reduce the suffering in the world. What do you think? The room went quiet, like this. And I said, well, if you really want to reduce suffering in the world, maybe you should have aborted bankers, arms dealers, politicians, the Pope, and Rupert fucking Murdoch. Because I think, the majority of suffering doesn't come from having a difference. It comes from living in a world that is, can't handle difference. And I think even if you eradicate all disabilities at birth, people can still become disabled at any time, can't they? Look at poor Nick Clegg. So sad, one day he's normal. Next, he's a baby.
Well done, guys. People do forget that. Because people don't want to face those kind of, we kind of try to imagine we're not getting older and getting more decrepit and we're going to be young forever. Yeah. Believe me, I've tried to convince myself of that just by pretending I was young forever. It's starting to get more and more difficult. But we are all... Well, you start to feel the little aches and pains and you become aware that the truth... I think the reason that disability frightens people really is because... If you stop and think about it, everyone is. It's the thing we're talking about. We're not yet disabled. If you're not disabled, you're going to be disabled, or you're going to die. So those are the two options. You're going to be old. You start off disabled. So the first 2 years of your life, you can't walk and you can't talk, and someone has to wheel you around. You end your life like that. You'd think we'd be much more sympathetic to this and want to have wheelchair and pushchair access to everyone.
Well, I think part of it is we live in an age where the media basically bombards us the whole time. You're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not thin enough. And I think it's very demoralising. And we kind of presented a really narrow view of humanity, aren't we? And so difference isn't seen as normal. But I asked a guy recently what he thought normal was, and I got the best answer. He said, normal is a cycle on the washing machine. Which I thought was just so true. I feel normal because I think normal is different. The rest of it is bollocks. Basically, we're made to feel abnormal, so we buy shit we don't need. That's it, guys. If you realise that, it's great. Try it, it's a lot cheaper than Botox, really. And I just think the media doesn't help. And, a lot of the media's very scared of, having me on, TV shows. I'll be told that I'm too... scary. Rawr! I should share this with you, but it's totally true. A few weeks ago, I was offered this part in a brand new TV show, right, on the BBC, right? And the part was of Claire, who is, I quote, so disabled, she's incapable of any speech, movement, or expression. Now, while I was clearly flattered to be offered this, I wrote them back this letter, totally true. I said, dear BBC, many thanks for offering me the part of Claire. However, I do not feel I yet possess the skill to bring off such a complex role successfully. I also fear that a week's rehearsal would not give me enough time to fully inhabit such a demanding character. May I suggest casting a shoe or a carrot instead? P.S. If you do need someone brain dead, try Kim Kardashian. Because I really think that a lot of the kind of discomfort we have stems from living in a world that doesn't reflect diversity on TV.
Well, it's true. It's kind of, you know, yeah, if there's a disabled person in something, they're there because they're a disabled person. So you wrote a sitcom that I was kind of involved in editing that was very good, and that, you know, I think again that it was, wasn't taken.
It was basically Sex in the City with the Wobbly Girl. And we did it for 5 years, but when it got to the kind of green light time, I think people were very nervous. So they said no. And I can understand, like you say, I can understand that it is an issue that makes people nervous. But I think we need to just accept difference exists. And it makes me laugh when people go, you're abnormal, because disability is normal. It existed forever. And I actually think, you know, like, we all have things that make us abnormal. Like, I found out, apparently, it's normal to only poo once a day. Well, I poo twice a day, so should I have to come out as a multiple shitter? Rich, are you a multiple shitter?
I definitely am.
Really?
Yeah.
Imagine being introduced everywhere you went, Rich, he's a multiple shitter. Now, should you be allowed to get married? Should you be allowed to have kids?
Yeah.
Because some people think it might make them multiple shitter. Ridiculous. Mate, you know, I think we should march in Poo Pride every year. Yeah. I just think it's ridiculous that they kind of pressure to conform and to be normal, because I've never met anyone normal, including you.
Yeah. I don't feel normal, I have to say.
So I get, like, the show I'm doing at the moment is called What the Fuck is Normal. It's trying to be an antidote to all that shit we're bombarded with. And the best thing I ever did was to say, this is me and it's fine. And I like being wobbly. One of the reasons is that my brother always says, you've got exactly the right level of CP to get out of all the housework. He always says, I don't get it, Jeff. You can't wash up, but you can do your makeup. Weird, isn't it?
So, Francesca, there's something I've been meaning to ask all of my guests.
I'm scared.
You should be scared. I think I'll ask you, seeing I forgot to ask Jonathan Ross, I'll ask you, do you think Jonathan Ross has ever attempted to suck his own penis?
He's a man, yes. Yeah, that's normal. It'd be abnormal not to, wouldn't it?
Well, it's about 70% of men, according to my survey. Yes, I have.
And
yeah, no, I could, you know.
Is it true that someone got a rib removed?
Well, that's something. I didn't need to do that, because
Because you've got a very long neck.
But, spend a long time putting things down to make it longer and longer. I could just about do it.
Yeah.
When I was 14, I haven't tried recently. I don't think I would be able to now. But there was just a point where I thought, this is a bit weird. I'm not sure there's anything pleasure about it. The problem is, as well as having your cock sucked, you are sucking a cock, which is as a 14-year-old. It's an odd place to be, and it's not even someone else's cock. It's not even you go, this is fine, I'm finding pleasure. I'm slightly uncomfortable, and this is a little bit weird.
I'm just glad I brought my parents.
I know, me too. Maybe we should have asked your dad when he was here. That would have been the way.
They're very proud of God, what kind of a living is this, Richard?
It's a terrible, terrible living.
It's great. There's no early mornings. I fucking love it. I can get paid to talk.
Not tonight, I must add.
But I thought you...
No.
But I'm getting your scope taken and it's fine.
That's okay. Well, I'll give you a percentage of the next bucket. So to speak. So we are doing this gig. We've mentioned it. And I've mentioned this half on Sunday. The Hammersmith Apollo. Ben Elton's hosting.
Yes, that was a good
He doesn't
one.
Know what good he's hosting, choice. But he's hosting. He doesn't know what the charity is. He thinks he's back in the 1980s. I think he wishes he was back in the 1980s. I wish he was back in the 1980s.
Does everyone know what happened?
he was on breakfast TV, and I think he'd had a long flight. But he was promoting other stuff as well. We Will Rock You has been going for 10 years. So that's enough to make you a bit surprised. But he did mention he was hosting this gig and he called it the Spastic Society, which is the unfortunate old fashioned name. When I was a young boy, the Spastic Society had little collecting things outside chemists, they were generally, which was a little boy in calipers and a little girl who was disabled in some way, and you put money into their head. And it was the Spastic Society. Times change and language changes, but unfortunately...
Not for Ben Elton.
Which is a bit embarrassing given he's hosting... I found it slightly embarrassing that he's hosting a gig and got the name 20 years wrong.
We all have our disabilities, clearly. it was a weird gap. But it should be a good gig if he can remember the chords on the night. Should be interesting. Maybe we should do a benefit for Ben Elton's memory.
But it's it's a good thing it got the gig mentioned. So there are it's the House of Apollo.
Maybe he did it on purpose.
Maybe he did.
Got a good PR. Maybe he just really canon.
He's a satirical genius.
Yeah, so that's on Sunday.
Exactly. I've about to shut up because I'm going to be meeting him on Sunday, and I'll have to at least put up a front. I did meet Ben Elton. I was a massive, massive fan. I mean, of the young ones, especially Blackadder to an extent. But the young ones was absolute. When I was 14 years old, that was it. The young ones, Rick Mail from the Young Ones. And many of you may not even remember this show, but it was like just this seminal show. It was in the times when a comedy show would only come along once every 6 months. It'd be a comedy show that young people would like once every 6 months if you were lucky. Nowadays, you know, they're coming out your ears all the time. But it was sort of just this amazing thing. And so I did meet Ben Elton. Me and Stu had mentioned him in an interview when we'd first been on TV. We said we don't want to end up like Ben Elton doing routines about how the chocolate machines don't work on the underground when you clearly never go on the underground anymore. And then he wrote to Time Out the next week saying, I don't know who Lee and Herring are, but I often travel on the underground and I've never done a routine about that, which may be true. So we started off quite badly with him. And I met him in Montreal and we had a really nice chat in about 1997. We had a nice chat and I said, oh, how much I love the Young Ones. And I said, he did a bit in the Young Ones where he played a character who was at the bar going, I was drinking something puffy and the girls will just look right through me. Then I drank a pint of Sharp and now they're trying to screw me. Something like that. And he did the little bit for me. He kind of did it and he was very generous and I thought, oh, that's nice. And then he wrote a novel about a double act called something like Fish and Lee, who were sort of flash in the pan, sort of rubbish, surreal. It was obviously sort of a mixture of Lee and Herring and Mighty Boosh, I think. It was in his head. He was sort of, and there was a character very much based on our manager. So kind of, we've got a little bit of history.
He's
so
been a big
I've got to meet him on Sunday, and he's hosting the show. And I tweeted Lawrence Clark, who you'll know is a disability campaigner, saying, "Oh, you know that Ben Elton's gaffe was fucking awful and embarrassing," but forgetting that, of course, that people will find that. So that was in when the Chortle article came up. He said Richard Herring said the gaffe was fucking awful and embarrassing. I was thinking, "Oh, Ben Elton's going to enjoy meeting me again, isn't he? That's going to be fun the whole night through." Talking to Ben Elton.
Don't worry, Rich, I'll protect you. Yes, I'm tougher than I look.
But, you know, at least he's performed for President Bush, so that is...
Rich, I just want to know, if you have a kid, will you call it Red?
Red Herring. I really want to, if we did have a kid. I am married now, so I'm allowed to have sex. The virginity.
How are you finding that?
It's all right. It's a bit tiring. takes a long time. To...
But surely your long neck helps.
It does help. You'd think. My giraffe-like tongue. Yeah, Felicity, now you're regretting.
She's a lucky woman.
She's a lucky woman. I thought Rufus would be quite a good name too, because it's like or Ruby. They're kind of. It would be a subtle joke. My wife is less keen on these names. I nearly got Rufus through it because she didn't know that Rufus meant red, but it does. So I was going to go. I went. Ruby would be a nice name for you. She went, that'd be nice. I was going. She's going to go for it.
Scarlet
Herring. That'd be good. I think that'd be quite good. I mean, it sounds Ruby Herring sounds a bit like a sort of stripper
Ruby
name,
but
it would be quite. See, if you could pull that off, you'd be quite. Not the stripping. If you could pull off that name, that would make you quite cool. We go. Yeah, my name's Herring, but I'm pretty cool because I'm called Ruby Herring, and it's a clever joke. If you couldn't pull it off, it would be an awful, terrible burden to spend your life with.
Are you planning, baby?
I'm not planning them. Is that how it works?
Well, yeah, you're right.
Like a Frankenstein.
I really want babies.
Do you?
I love babies, but I am... This is really embarrassing. I'm slightly worried about accidentally killing it. I am. I keep picturing, my husband comes home from work and I'm like, babe, you know what you said about not going near him with a fork? He got hungry. Sorry. We can make another one.
You can make another. That's the thing. You know, people are very sentimental about children these days. But in the old days, just, in Roman times, you'd have like 20 children. That's all you'd do. And 10 of them would die, and then another 5 of them would die.
Would
a bit
you
later.
Let me babysit your baby?
Yeah, if it meant I had a night off, yeah, that'd be fine. Have a night out.
You're a bad irresponsible man.
That would be fine. We're talking about something that's quite hypothetical at the moment. I don't even know. I might be a Jaffa. You never know. That could be my disability. No seeds. It's an old Only Fools and Horses joke.
You've silenced the room there.
I did, yeah. I thought they'd enjoy it.
A spermless Richard Herring.
Yeah, imagine. I've got sperm. They might just not be working efficiently. I've got to 44 and I've got no children. I've had sex a couple of times. That's got to work.
It's
I'm very responsible. I'm very responsible. Yes,
it may be your disability.
It might be.
Don't worry.
I just make sure I kill every single sperm the minute it's out. The minute it's out, I stamp on them. I've got suction. Just want to make suck them out. It's a terrible sperm holocaust, but it's the only way to be sure. I don't want to pass these genes on to anyone.
Spermicide,
that's good. No. Second time, Ali, second time, I think you got one more strike and you're out. Make sure the next one's really good.
I've actually discovered a great form of contraception.
Yeah.
It's when I put a condom on my boyfriend, because the amount of my handshake, it's all over before it begins. Thank you.
I love having Francesca on, because she's always just much funnier than me. It makes me look like an idiot, and I go home and feel sad. So it's been fantastic to have you. We're going to do a competition now where someone here tonight is going to win Fist of Fun on DVD. I bet most of them have got that already. Someone like Shoggart. The worst comic experience of 2005, according to the Daily Telegraph.
Try and contain your excitement, guys.
The Very Clever Puzzle Compendium, Volume 1, that Elliot Lyne is a man with unrealistic ambitions. We'll call it Volume 1. There might be a second one. There might be demand. And two tickets to see some chancer called Stuart Lee. Stuart Lee is in the audience tonight. Very excited. He's hoping to win these. So what we need you to do, I've just had a text through. Oh, it's from my wife. Let's see what she's up to. I'm pregnant with your child. Oh, it's a long text, actually. Oh, don't tell Francesca, because it might look rude. I didn't come for a drink, but I'm so tired.
Oh, she's so sweet.
I just disobeyed my wife. There's no way she'll find out, right, though? So,
she might listen.
It's unlikely. She loves my snooker podcast so much that she's sitting waiting for those to come through. So what we need you to do to win these, we've got the house lights up a little bit. We need you all to stand up. We're going to make some statements that are either true or false. If you think the statement is true, put your hands on your head. If you think it's false, put your hands on your bottom. If you get it wrong, you have to sit down. It's self-policing. You have to look out for that. My first piece of... I'm going to see if I didn't ask.
You wrote them down.
I was going to see if there's anything I didn't use. Jonathan Ross was responsible for the first TV appearances of Vic Reeves, Bob Mortimer, Charlie Hickson and Paul Whitehouse. Is that true or false? Of all four of those... He is responsible for a lot more than that. If anyone speaking during this portion of the show will be excluded from the competition. He's responsible for a lot more than that. He is, yeah. What are you saying? He's raped someone? What are you saying? What's there? Was that the implication? He's killed some children? Is that what you're trying to say? We'll make that the next one. That is true. So well done. That was an easy one to start with. That woman very excited there. And he's gone there. You idiot. Why did you say that? It was obviously true. Look, woman going, yes. Have you got a statement, truth or false, going to be about anything? About yourself, about anything?
Yeah, I once made up a game called If You Had to Shag an Animal, What Would It Be?
True or false? A lot of people have gone for true. This could get sort of the men from the boys.
True, I'm sorry.
It is true. Felicity is gone. For people listening at home, excited about Ali is still in. No, he's going. You're still in? The man with that penis hat is still in. Jonathan Ross now writes comic books that I never got around to talking to, and he's written a very successful one called Soil. Is that true or false? True or false? That is false. It's called Turf. I changed the name. Have you got another statement or truth or falsehood? Can be about yourself or
Richard
anything?
Richard Herring has a very long neck.
true or false? I think that is opinion.
False.
It's false. I do not. So that is well done. That actually got rid of some people. Unbelievable. This week on the train, I was standing next to a man who sniffed every 20 seconds and like that in the back of his throat, and I wanted to kill him. Is that true or false? That is true. No, we've weeded out a few there, so it's getting down. I've got another one. Francesca, make them as crazy as you like.
Sid Vicious made his debut on this very stage.
True or false? Oh, that's a good question. Most people have gone for false.
True.
It's true. Wow, and Ali's still in with his friend? More than friends? More than brothers? there's still something over there. Three people together, going together there. A lady. Is that Francesca's mum?
Don't think about that. Come on.
It is, but I'm sure we'll get her. Is it my turn or your turn? It's my turn. As well as the Paul Ross picture that you can buy of a box print of Paul Ross, there is also one of Stuart Lee that you can buy, a similar thing of Stuart Lee on a box canvas. Is that true or false? We split the group of friends there. One of them's gone for true. If this is true, a man has taken home... Oh, no, there's two of them now. It's false. So, well, it might be true, but I don't know if there is. So. We're down to... There's one, two, three, four people left in. Very exciting. Don't know if your mum can be allowed to win, though.
Okay. My mum is from... My mum is half Swedish.
Not allowed to look at her mum. True or false? If you look, you have to see. I think that man looked. Oh, Ali, you're so trusting. Is that true or false?
True.
It's true. Sit down. Ali's gone because he didn't look. I'd say your mum had an unfair advantage in that.
I would too, but you know, genetically, I'm wired to help her.
True or false? My mum is half Scottish. Is that true or false?
Oh.
It's false, but that means the unfair winner. There's no fix involved in this at all. Well, have you got a copy of Fist of Fun on DVD, Christine? Have you, though? You've won some more. I think what I might do is you can have all of the books, but I might get those two boys to stand back up and we'll give the tickets to one of those two. How about that? Just out of a set. So there's a semi-final. That's you, not you, Ali. I think it was a lad over there. We'll have one more question that your mum is not allowed to answer. She's won some. You can take these for your... In fact, I might just keep them for next week. That scam works out. We've saved ourselves. What? We'll split that. That's £5 each.
I felt bad for calling her a slag.
Right, we'll do that. Francesca's mum is a slag. True or false? True. It was false. It was false. It was false. She's been married for 25 years. Terrible. Right? One more chance. My first pet.
He's not letting me do anymore.
My first pet. And one of you, whoever goes for this first, makes the other one has to do the opposite. So keep an eye on each other. My first pet was a tortoise called Tony. Is that true or false? Got to go for false. And it is false. It was a cat called Oscar. You've won the tickets to see Stuart Lee. I hope you'll use those. Come on, what's your name, sir? Nick. Neil. Neil. Is that your name?
Yeah.
Well, you just got a real fucking high opinion of yourself now you've won some tickets.
You could have walked over.
I couldn't because I've got to stay
I've
with the mic.
I've got a fucking excuse.
I really need a wee, and half of it's not going to come out in the first. Okay. I've got to move the jerry can around to get it working. So thank you very much. I've completely forgotten to take the credits. We'll have to do those at the end. No need to say that, really. Now I think about it. That's to give a round of applause to Dave, who sat in for Ben Walker, who's too fucking lazy to come out. Dave Cribb. Ben Walker's up for some Sony Award, some podcast, rubbish podcast he's doing that doesn't involve me. So will you please give a massive round of applause to everyone tonight, Ali especially, and Francesca's mum. Will you please give it up for Jonathan Ross and Francesca Martinez? Next week we have Charlie Hickson from The Fast Show and James Bond books and stuff, so please come along. Thank you very much for listening. Good night. Bye-bye. Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast was performed by Richard Herring with guests Jonathan Ross and Francesca Martinez. It was produced by Ben Walker and Dave Cribb. Music by Pess. It's a Fuzz and Sky Potato production. You can see Francesca Martinez on tour from May. Go to francescamartinez.com and at the Tricycle Theatre on June 6th, where Richard Herring will be one of the guests. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends. Thank you. Bye. How'd you like them Sky potatoes? Thanks for listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Rehearlastaper. Terrible. If you don't like the idea of an advert coming on for the free thing you've just heard, why not turn off now and you can avoid it? I'm just about to plug some stuff that's coming up. If you're around on Sunday the 20th of May in London, you can go to the Scope benefit at the Hammersmith Apollo with Ben Elton, Al Murray, Milton Jones, Doc Brown, hundreds of brilliant people. And all the money from that will go to Scope. And, of course, Francesca Martinez, who you've just heard, will be there as well. I'm doing my Edinburgh show, Talking Cock, at the Edinburgh Fringe, as well as Richard Herring's Edinburgh Fringe podcast. Tickets are available for those now. Go to edfringe.com, and you can find out about those. If you want to take part in the Talking Cock survey, go to richardherring.com and click on the links. If you want to get your name in the Talking Cock programme, to go and donate at least £15 at www.justgiving.com/talkingcock. And Talking Cock, the book, is available at gofasterstripe.com, as long with all my other DVDs, including Fist of Fun and all the shows I've ever done. You can pick up there and another book and posters and stuff. So it'd be terrific if you wanted to buy any of those. But if you don't, then please just spread the word about this podcast to your friends and people you think might enjoy it. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.